When you're behind the wheel, would you admit to speeding sometimes in some places? If so, you're not alone. According to the auto insurance comparison site, The Zebra, 9 in 10 drivers say they exceed the speed limit, even though 8 in 10 say it's dangerous, and about a third say it's always unacceptable. A 2016 AAA report showed that half of all drivers went 15 over the speed limit on the highway in the previous month. 45% said they went 10 over in residential areas. Officials say speeding is dangerous to everyone on the road. In fact, the National Highway Traffic Safety Association says in 2019, speeding killed more than 9,400 people in the U.S. That's about a quarter of all traffic deaths. Our next guest looked into Americans' addiction to speeding, including why we do it and efforts to slow us down, why he says the nation's most disobeyed law is, quote, dysfunctional from top to bottom. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you drive over the speed limit? If so, how fast do you go? Do you have a rule? 5 over or 10 over on the highway, say? Have you been pulled over and ticketed? Do you see a lot of unsafe, fast driving when you're out and driving? If you're a police officer, what do you see out on the roads? And are there changes you'd like to see to get us to slow down? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Henry Grabar is a staff writer at Slate who focuses on cities, transportation, housing, and the environment. He's currently working on a book about parking. Henry, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here.
You describe speeding as a national health problem. Can you talk about why a little bit?
Well, sure. I mean, I think you said so yourself in your introduction. Nearly 10,000 people die each year in collisions that involve speeding. There are thousands and thousands of more injuries that involve speeding. What's particularly perplexing about this is that even though cars are getting safer and safer for the people inside them, those numbers appear to be going up. In the first 6 months of 2021, traffic fatalities in the U.S. rose by about 18%, which is the largest increase since the U.S. DOT started counting. And that's double the rate of the previous year's surge, which happened in spite of the fact that everybody was staying home for 2 months of the year. So it's a deadly problem, and it's getting worse.
And people are paying a lot of attention to this. As you mentioned, with the pandemic, roads might have been emptier, but we were driving faster. I assume some data is still coming in, but what do we know about how the pandemic changed our driving speeds?
Yeah, so the pandemic shutdown lowered the total number of miles traveled in this country by 13%, which is not surprising when you think about the fact that many of us may not have gone to work or, you know, didn't go to social events. I mean, we're talking about March, April, May 2020. So the sort of when this was just a real public health emergency that was just beginning almost 2 years ago now. But in spite of vehicle miles traveled falling by 13%, the per mile death rate rose by 24%. That's the greatest increase in a century. And that's because everybody was going so fast on all these empty roads. But what's weird is that that didn't then revert back to the norm in 2021. On the contrary, as I just mentioned, in 2021, it looks like traffic fatalities rose again by 20%.
I want to split this up because highways and residential roads are kind of different stories in some ways. You mentioned how cars are safer for the people in them now. Let's get on those residential roads. Talk about the impact of speed on the people who aren't in the cars, the pedestrians, bicyclists.
Yeah, so that's huge. I mean, I think part of my thesis here is that, you know, we're making a mistake by treating speeding as one issue. Part of that is that there's a big difference between the risks that you create for the people around you when you go 5 miles over the speed limit on the interstate versus when you go 15 miles over the speed limit on a residential street. For pedestrians, whose death counts are also rising as part of that 10,000 deaths a year number, pedestrians' odds of being killed in a collision are about 10% when the driver is going 23 miles an hour, and they rise to 75% when the driver is going 50 miles an hour. So there's a really important zone there where we have cars and people existing in the same spaces where it's super important to get people to drive a little bit slower. And most people do, I think, drive at a safe speed through residential neighborhoods. But there are a few who don't, and they pose an outsized risk to those around them, not just people, but if you've ever seen an out-of-control car careen down a residential street, to structures as well.
Talking to Henry Grabar, staff writer at Slate. He wrote a recent piece on Americans' love of speeding while driving. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How big a problem do you think this is? What do you see from other people on the road? Do you drive over the speed limit often yourself? Do you want to see changes in enforcement? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Henry, you point out there's a pretty common perception that when I drive fast, I'm doing it safely because I know what I'm doing. But those other idiots are driving fast. They're putting us all at risk. We kind of, I don't know, what are we doing there?
Yeah, that's actually what drew me to this topic in the first place. I think there's lots of aspects of society where something is dangerous, but it's also fun and we like it. And so we permit it because that's, you know, society is a balancing act, right? Like, you know, fireworks or alcohol or something like that. Like these things obviously are not great for our health, but they're fun. And so we've decided they're going to be allowed. And what gets me about speeding is that simultaneously, everybody agrees that it's bad on a societal level and that other people shouldn't do it, but that when I do it, it's fine. And to me, it recalls a famous line of George Carlin's, who said, everyone going faster than you is a maniac and everyone going slower than you is an idiot. And that seems to be the societal position on speeding.
Let's look at some solutions now. First of all, the drivers. Are there things we can do to educate ourselves on how to drive safe? I guess we know driving slower is safer. How can we live that?
Yeah, there's a few things that I think we could do. I mean, a lot of the focus is on enforcement, right? Mm-hmm. It's like hire more state troopers, radar guns, speed cameras, all this stuff. And we can talk about that in a moment. But I think right off the bat, there's some fundamental changes we could make. I mean, the easiest one is to design roads to correspond to the speed that we want people to drive on them. I think often people feel that the road is telling them, suggesting a certain speed. And that's true. Engineers know when they design a road that there's a design speed at which it will feel safe. And if we want those roads, if we want people to drive slower on those roads, the best way to do it is to redesign them. And that's particularly true in the places where you have people turning in and out of driveways, you have kids crossing the street. Those are places where engineers really need to start redesigning roads with safety in mind, rather than just trying to get everyone, and when I say everyone, I mean drivers here, from point A to point B as fast as possible.
In my town and others around the state, I think sometimes there is that kind of redesign on the kind of streets you're talking about, but the only change is the number on the speed limit sign, 30 down to 25, 35 down to 30. I was on one such road today, and you know, maybe more enforcement, but no other physical changes to the road. Is that doomed to failure?
I think it is, yes. I think that doesn't really work. We're all accustomed to not paying attention to the number posted on the speed limit sign. And for good reason, nobody around us does. We know that the police don't really take this law at face value, which is to say they don't necessarily ticket you for going 1 or 2 miles an hour over. But yeah, I would argue that if we actually want people to slow down, and we could redesign the streets, we can have a more rigorous program of driver education. I think it's kind of unusual that you learn to drive, you take an exam when you're 15 or 16 years old, and you're never tested again. It's a little surprising. And then the third thing, obviously, is we could put some sort of governor in the vehicles. And that could be for people who have a proven record of dangerous driving. Or the other thing, obviously, is that we're starting to see autonomous cars. And with those, it's not even a question of your personal liberty. It's do we want to have computer programs on the road that are going 20 miles over the speed limit? And that's a question I think we should probably address as a society before all those cars get put out there and you have computer programs that are directing them to go so far over the speed limit.
We're talking about Americans' apparent need for speed on the roads with Henry Grabar, staff writer at Slate, who focuses on transportation and other issues. And you could join in now at 800-642-1234. Do you often see people driving too fast when you're driving on the highway, in your neighborhood maybe, or on downtown streets? What do you think we should do about it, if anything, if you are in law enforcement and have to pull people over? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up, the idea of speed traffic cameras that will send you a ticket. 800-642-1234. What do you think of that? We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about speeding on American roadways. Our guest wrote a piece about our apparent addiction to speeding on highways and residential roads. He notes that one in four deadly crashes in the U.S. involves at least one speeding driver. Henry Grabar is with us from Slate. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see too much speeding on the road? What would you do to fix it, to prevent it? What questions do you have about how we design our roads, how we enforce or sometimes don't enforce our laws? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Henry, before we go to our callers, I wanted to get into this automatic speeding camera ticket idea. Big in Europe, not so hot yet in the United States.
No, people hate them. And this is a point on which I think that having written this big article about speeding, I think my take has diverged from that of most people. I think the greater infringement on our liberties is probably having an armed police officer pull you over at 90 miles an hour and search your vehicle, as opposed to a camera sending you a ticket in the mail. I appear to be in the minority in holding that view, but the argument in favor of it is that if we're trying to actually clamp, like if we're trying to crack down on dangerous speeding, which I think we can all agree is a minority of drivers on the road, you know them when you see them, they're weaving in out of lanes, going 25 over the limit. Our current system of, you know, having a policeman here and there with a radar gun is just not that good for catching those people. And the argument for cameras is that if you install them in places where you have, say, pedestrians, cyclists, parents with strollers, you know, vulnerable people, you create a much more effective system of enforcement. And once the system of enforcement is more effective, you can say lower the fines, right? Because you're catching more people. You can adjust the way the cameras work so you don't, you know, get everybody going over the speed limit, but maybe only get people going 15 or 20 above. And then finally, you get a pretty good data set of who the dangerous drivers are, which we definitely do not get when we rely on speeding tickets, because, as you know, you can speed for years and years without getting a speeding ticket. It's not a particularly, it's not a data set that tells us a lot about who the dangerous drivers are.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Evan is with us in Ashland. Evan, hi.
Hey, I think, at least in where I live, part of the issue with speeding is just, it's kind of an issue with road design. There's a, I want to say Highway 2 runs into town. It's a two lanes each way, four lane highway. And going in through Ashland, it's still four lanes, two lanes each way. But the speed limit just it gets cut from 55.
We lost Evan there, but 55, I'm guessing down to something like 25 going through downtown Ashland. How big a problem is this, Henry, that kind of design? We have this. This is common in Wisconsin. You are 55 until the road takes you through town.
Yeah, I think that is not an effective method of getting people to slow down. I myself have gotten a ticket in one such situation in upstate New York. And the truth is, as a driver, you just, at a certain point, you just don't read those signs. The real thing that you're taking your cues from is the way the road is designed. And there's lots of really easy things we can do to signal to drivers that they are entering a densely populated area where they need to slow down. And the fact that we just rely on a sign on the side of the road, I think, is a sign maybe of a sort of lazy approach to design, but also potentially reminds us that the way speeding works is it's a system for raising revenue in a lot of places. And so, you know, in some places you do wonder, do authority figures actually want people to slow down, or do they want to issue speeding tickets?
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Bill now in the Northwoods. Bill, hi.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. I wanted to wish everybody a happy COVID-free New Year. And I really enjoy your topic. And one thing I've been kind of scrolling through the internet, thank God for that, that a lot of these police officers, and they're finding out with traffic stops and expired plates and speeding, that they're better off to just photograph them and send pictures or the tickets in the mail, because traffic stops can escalate to, you know, a dangerous situation for the officer.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. Henry, you were starting to touch on that, and that's something you do focus on in your piece, fewer interactions between a traffic enforcement officer and drivers might make people safer in other ways.
Yeah, I that is such an important part of this, Bill. Thank you for bringing it up. I mean, where to begin? We know, I think fewer interactions with police would be a good thing from a civil liberties perspective. It would be good for police because it would free up their time to do more important work, solving crimes and stopping crimes. The other thing is, Bill hinted at this, but there are statistics. Getting pulled over on the highway is the number one way that Americans interact with police. It serves as the start of 1 in 3 police shootings. So this is not like a niche little thing, right? This is basically the foundation of Americans' experience with the police. And and speed cameras, whatever your problems may be with them, offer great promise in sort of getting rid of the traffic stop as a concept.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Henry Grabar from Slate, looking at speeding in America, its risks, how to deal with it. Back to your calls now. Kristen is with us in Eau Claire. Kristen, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that I thought that the cameras would be a more equitable solution because in general, there's a perception that maybe racial and gender bias causes more men and people of color to be pulled over than Caucasian people, and that the use of cameras would eliminate that bias.
Kristen, thanks for the call. Henry, what do you think?
Yeah, there's more than a suggestion. Black drivers are 20% more likely to be stopped, according to a study from last year, or rather that would be 2020. And this is because part of the dysfunctional nature of the speed limit is that it makes criminals of us all, because it is a law that we all disobey, that we know is sort of meant to be disobeyed, that engineers know we're going to disobey, police know we're going to disobey. And yes, it gives the police the right to ostensibly pull anyone over at all. And so I don't think that the system we have is good at all. And I agree, cameras can be, theoretically at least, a race-neutral method of enforcing the law, in addition to avoiding the sometimes tragic consequences of highway stops. Of course, the program to install the cameras has to be well designed, and not designed with the aim of raising revenue, but rather with the aim of ensuring public safety on the road. I think that's important.
Kristen, thanks for calling in. We'll go next to Cyril in Madison. Cyril, hi.
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to mention that speed not only is an unsafe habit for drivers, but just generally bad driving habits in particular, such as coming to an intersection and you're going to make a turn and you decide to cut the corner so that you don't have to turn the steering wheel as far, and having a vehicle coming on the opposite lane coming towards you as you're cutting the corner. I live within distance of a major intersection where it's only a two-way stop, and every year since we've moved here, and I've lived here 30 years, there's been at least one or two crash and boom
wow.
accidents.
Well, Cyril, stay safe there. Henry, I wonder how much of a problem like that and like speeding is we need to be better drivers versus we need to design our roads better?
I think the two go together. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, Cyril, but like when it snows and the snow has first fallen and there's this thick layer of snow on the road, if you look at the road from above, you start to see the paths that drivers take and you start to realize how much of the space of the road is actually not being used by drivers. And I love to look at that in, say, a little, you know, downtown of a small town. And if you look at that from above, you get a sense of, does all this space really need to be roadway space? And I think that drivers respond to all that space being asphalt by doing things like cutting corners. But when it snows, you sort of get a sense of really, we could begin to build out, say, a sidewalk here, build out a planter full of trees there, and reduce the amount of space that drivers have. And that's one way that design cues get people to slow down and drive more safely, irrespective of even if we're making them, you know, take a class or something like that.
Cyril, thanks for that call. In just our last half a minute, Henry, do you see at the federal, state, or local levels people saying, hey, yeah, the speeding's a problem, we got to try something different?
You know who did say something about this was the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, who was talking about the rise in fatalities since the pandemic started. And he said, we cannot and should not accept these fatalities. Unfortunately, when it comes to redesigning the roads, we have not seen, I would say, a ton of movement. And the other thing is that speed cameras remain incredibly unpopular, notwithstanding the opinions of WPR callers.
Henry, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
My pleasure.
Henry Grabar is a staff writer at Slate who focuses on cities and transportation. We talked to him about what he calls our addiction to speeding.